The Federation National Championship has become kind of a neat way to make it to the Bassmaster Classic. And with me today is Ed Cowan. And Ed, you've been to the doggone Federation National Championship 6 times. Man, that's unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, it's a lot of fun. So, you know, I try to get back there.
Well, there's no doubt about it. After you've been there 6 times, you kind of become an icon and have been to the Bassmaster Classic before. But going to Pittsburgh this year to the Bassmaster Classic again.
Yeah. Glad to be getting back. It's been a good while since I went. The Federation route isn't the fast route.
No, you got to work your way through the state level, then, of course, through the regional level, and then to nationals where you have to be in the top 5 anglers. And actually, the top respective angler from your division gets to go, and you won the whole thing, though, so I bet you the press has been pretty hot on your tail.
Yeah. Well, a Bassman probably cover it better than anybody. I spoke to you guys several times now. I had a preliminary interview before I even went to it, being that I was there a few times before and won it one other time, and then some follow-up, and I did a couple of the radio shows, and just keeping pretty busy.
Well, you know, you look at this thing, and it's kind of hard to find out about the Federation National Championship through Bass right now, and I know they're going through some changes, of course, with the website and stuff, but I've been kind of looking out there trying to find you on it, and been a little difficult.
Yeah, I think it's really a shame, this the history of it. It's really a big deal to the Federation guys, and I think they should take us a whole lot more serious than they seem to.
Well, I know you have a very close friend who you won this event for by the name of Brian Kershel, and he's the only guy that ever won the Bassmaster Classic from the Federation ranks, and of course we lost him several years ago in a plane crash, but very, very close friend of yours, and I know you were fishing for Brian.
Yeah, well, I was there. I finished the highest guy from each division gets to go to Classic, and the year Brian won the national championship, I finished second in the East. And we fished together the weekend before he went down and won that Classic, you know, and he'd gone pre-fished to talk to me about, you know, what he'd done in practice and all that. And nobody was less surprised than me that he won it, really.
Yeah, he was a great angler and also a great ambassador to our sport, and his family keeps that tradition alive. And I think it's kind of a funny story that your wife found out you'd won from the Kershels.
Yeah, the New York Federation president had Ray Kershel on the phone while I was up on stage. Ray was the first one to call my wife to tell her that I had won the tournament, and it probably took me 3 hours to get through because everybody in the world called her after that, I guess.
Well, that's got to be a high moment in your career. I know you've been there before, so it probably is one of those things that ranks right up there, but winning it for Brian had to be really special for you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of guys go to that really focused on trying to make the Classic, and that really wasn't my focus. I specifically wanted to win that one tournament, and consequently, I get to go, so that's a good thing, but the real thrill to me is get that Brian Kershel trophy at home, and had a couple close nationals before as far as Classic-wise. I wasn't really, didn't really bother me. I didn't make the Classic in some past ones. I missed by 2 ounces once, but it was only a matter of a 10th or 11th place finish, so that wasn't really my goal. My goal is really to win that specific tournament. I did it, finally.
Well, let's reflect back a little bit. Number one, you've been there so many times, but let's reflect back on the tournament. A new change where you actually fished, you know, one body of water first and then went to a second body of water to finish the championship. How did you fare in that, and basically what were some of the baits you threw?
Well, that was a really neat deal. The first 2 days were on Toho. I'd gone down the month before the week they let us practice pre-fish. The lake had dropped, the water level dropped 2 feet, so the pre-fish really didn't mean a whole lot. I basically fished Lake Toho during the first 2 days there. I mostly flipped a Sweet Beaver with a X-Metal tungsten half-ounce weight, you know, 25-pound line, all that, and caught all my fish flipping. The second day I had a big bag of the tournament flipping in the canals on the southwest part of the lake. The wind was blowing down that part of the lake. Out in front of these canals was pretty muddy. I think that's what pushed the big fish up in there. So I got through to the bush shootout on Toho when I was third overall, second in my division. So that was the first 2 days.
Well, then you shifted over and you went to Disney.
Yep, Disney, that was, I'd never seen the lake. I didn't, you know, you couldn't pre-fish. You had to go down before the off limits, like in the middle, like in January. You would have had to go there and hired one of them guides or whatever if you wanted to go out there. So I hadn't done anything really to prepare. The first day was kind of a bit of a panic fishing a lake you'd never seen before, and geared up for Toho was totally different kind of lake. You know, I started out trying to flip, but there really isn't much cover in the lake. You know, Mickey Mouse got the place pretty cleaned up there. It's basically a sand pit type lake. I after a couple hours, I figured out I need to be offshore, and I basically started throwing a crankbait and did real well on a thing called Aragon, made by Jackal Baits. It's like a jointed crankbait that was pretty loud and has a lot of action. It's a pretty neat bait.
It's a very unique bait. It also has head motion in it. And when you look at that bait, you know, in a very clear water conditions, which you have at Disney, that bait might have maybe instituted a few of the reaction strikes you got.
Oh, yeah. I definitely felt that it did. It's funny. I'd never even fished the bait before. Kota Kuriyama hooked me up with the Jackal products. And, you know, he had me sent me a catalog and told me to, you know, let him know what I wanted. And I hadn't even requested that particular bait, and he told me, but I better try it out, and sent me a few, and you know, good thing he did.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now you reflect back on it, and that was probably the best bait that Kota's ever sent you, and worth a lot of money to you as well.
Oh, sure. Well, Kota's always helped me out. He's from around, he went to school here, and he was one of the Jersey Federation guys before he moved out west there, and I don't think a lot of people realize he's one of the Jersey contingents.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of those good anglers coming from New Jersey, and you guys have done a respectable job of being able to go out there and compete. And, you know, you think about it half the time or half the year, you know, we got snow and all those kind of things up north. But in reality, the guys that are fishing are maybe might be a little bit more hungry coming from the north.
Yeah, I think we have a real strong federation. I think that has a lot to do with it. We've got a good different variety of lake types around here. And we have to travel out of state a lot because we don't have that many real big lakes. And all, you know, all the guys that have done well out of this part of the country are all federation members. And you know, we got a good strong federation. I think that makes a big difference.
Well, let's reflect on the federation a little bit. You know, kind of in a disarray a little bit now, and trying to gain momentum back. And I think that's happening. And you look at the federation, really the grassroots guys of fishing. You know, out there working hard in conservation, a lot of those kind of things. But the federation's here to stay, isn't it?
I hope so. I don't know what I would do about tournament fishing and just angling in general if it wasn't for the Federation. You know, they have a lot of good programs with the youth clubs and the casting kids and the conservation, and just the guys that you meet and the club tournaments and the state tournaments and all that. It's a great deal. It's the best deal in tournament fishing as far as I'm concerned.
Well, let's reflect on Pittsburgh a little bit. What do you know about Pittsburgh?
I fished the Ohio River and qualified for the 2000 National Championship off an Ohio River tournament a few years back. You know, I only fished one tournament there, but I did well that one time. I'm pretty much a river rat, so I like it. I'm looking forward to going there. I feel like that'll be a real good body of water for my style.
Well, Ed, you're definitely one of the premier Federation anglers out there. You've proven that over and over again. Jerry Usta also is a guy that's been there many, many times, is going back again from Zimbabwe. And you guys got to be real pleased with what you're going to have an opportunity to do again. And maybe you'll be the next Brian Kershaw. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I hope so. I think the group we got going from the Federation this year should fare real well, especially, you know, it's a tough body of water. And got a couple of veteran. You know, usually the Federation guys are their first trip to the Classic. Even Brian, when he won, it was his second trip. There's not too many rookies, pro or Federation, that end up going there and doing real well right off the first time at the Classic. It's kind of an overwhelming experience, but we got a couple veterans this time.
Well, Ed, I appreciate you being with us here at Bass Fan Army Radio, and look for great things ahead for you at the Classic.
Okay. Good talking to you.
I'm Terry Brown, and this has been Bass Fan Army Radio.